the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The godly work of motherhood is to instill in her offspring the fear of the Lord, that reverent love and devotion and worship of God that counts him superior to everyone and everything else.
This weekend on the Songtime broadcast, as we honor our mothers, we'll continue our series in A Proverb a Day in May, and Derek Thomas will point out the role that mothers play in instructing our hearts, but also providing us with what we've been seeing, a Lady Wisdom's advice and counsel. Stay tuned for that message. But first, we're going to be joined by Jonathan Pennington as we talk about how to have an actual personal relationship with God by studying him through Scripture. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. One of the questions I get quite often from our listeners, as well as people that I interact with out on the street, as well as at my church, is how can we have an actual relationship with God when our means of getting to know God come through a book? It seems like such a difficult way to really connect with somebody and have a relationship. Well, our guest today is Jonathan Pennington, and he's written a book called Come and See, The Journey of Knowing God Through Scripture. And John, this is a subject that I'm sure many of our listeners are asking or concerned about. How can we actually have a robust relationship with God when our means of getting to know him are through his book? It seems so impersonal. So how can we have a personal relationship with him when it comes down to reading about him in a book?
Yes. Well, it is a spiritual work. And I mentioned this in the book. One of my professors when I was in seminary many years ago would always say, a great way to open reading the Bible is to say, pray the simple prayer. God, open your word to me. That has helped me understand it. And open me to your word. And that's a really great, simple way to approach reading the Bible. And honestly, even getting on your knees. A lot of times I get on my knees before I open the Bible and just because the physical act of recognizing I'm an embodied and limited creature affects me to say I'm not trying to twist God's arm. He's happy to speak, but it's affecting me. And I pray and say, God, help me. I want to understand you more. And then you can read the Bible in lots of different ways, but one way is like a meditative way. There's an old tradition of this called Lectio Divina, where you take a text, like a psalm, but it could be any verse, and any set of verses, and you say it out loud, and you slow down, and you actually speak it to God and say, God, help me understand this and make this true in my life. And you just think about it, and then maybe you read another verse and think about it. Again, that's not the only way to read the Bible, but it's one very spiritually enriching way to just kind of slow down and seek the Lord. And the biggest thing I'd want people to know is God is happy to speak. I like what you said. He's not trying to hide himself. Like, he is very glad to speak to us. So turn your heart to him in humility and ask him to open his word to you, and he will. Ask, seek, and knock, and you will find, as Jesus says.
Yeah, come and see. This is actually, yeah, right. This is a real question. You know, it's not just an anecdotal question. This is a real question someone's asked. I'm sure if one person's asked it, many others have asked it. They just can't connect with Scripture. It seems that it's such a hard and academic task to read the Bible. They want to connect with God in other ways. They want to connect with God through the songs, through prayer. But when it comes to reading the Scriptures, it's just monumentous in trying to make that leap. So what advice do you have for them and how to connect with God through the Word of God?
I mean, I would go back to that kind of meditative reading. If it all seems kind of overwhelming, then just take a smaller bite. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? I mean, you kind of slow down and read and pray. And honestly, because it is a spiritual work, that is a holy spiritual work, maybe, you know, part of the problem is a spiritual problem. And I don't mean that in a shaming way. I mean to say, you know, maybe prayer has not been enough a part of your attempt at reading the Bible, you know? And again, don't hear that as shame. Hear that as an invitation from God to slow down because he wants to speak. But, you know, another way is to think listening to great teaching and preaching is another way to kind of get the cold embers of our hearts going. To when you hear a really, you know, gifted preacher, teacher explain the Bible, even though you may not feel like you could do that, that begins to kind of help you see, oh, there's something more here than what I thought, you know, and be willing, it's okay for it to be a slow process. You know, we need teachers, we need help. And just take whatever small steps you can towards meditating on the Bible, listening to good teaching. And I trust that over time, God will. But like maybe you could say, playing tennis is so monumental, I can't do it. Or, you know, learning to drive a car. Think how complicated it is to learn to drive a car, right? You take one small step towards understanding, and you do that in the same direction, a long obedience in the same direction, as Eugene Peterson calls it. And over time, you'll be surprised at how much progress you can make.
So basically, if I could summarize everything you said, it would be just listen to everything Adam Miller says and follow his directions and you'll be fine. Is that what I...
That is my main point, as I'm here to help people understand that.
We have been talking with Jonathan Pennington about his book called Come and See the Journey of Knowing God Through Scripture. And you heard it straight from him. You should listen to my advice. I've got some pretty good advice, and it might actually help you out a little bit. But if you want to find out more information, here's a bit of advice from me. Get a copy of Jonathan Pennington's book called Come and See. You can find out more information by giving us a call, 508-362-7070, or heading over to our website at songtime.com. Well, here's a bit of advice that you don't want to forsake. It is the advice and the counsel of Lady Wisdom. This weekend, we continue our series, A Proverb a Day in May, and we are told and instructed to not forsake the teaching of our fathers and the instruction of our mothers. This weekend, as we honor our mothers, it's important for us to remember the role that they play in our society as a whole to teach us to fear the Lord. Here is Derek Thomas with a closer look at our series, A Proverb a Day in May.
Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And in chapter 31 and verse 28, these are words of King Lemuel in an extended narrative on the excellent wife. Her children rise up and call her blessed. For better or worse, mothers are the makers of men, architects of the next generation. And becoming a godly mother is the most noble of all pursuits. I want us to see four things in this proverb today. The first is that this proverb recognizes family. Now, of course, there are tragedies of divorce and single parent families and so on, but the family is God's design. It is God's plan. We need to remind ourselves of that. The second thing I want us to see in this proverb is that it says, a mother's instruction is to be heeded. Now, the proverb also, to be fair, says a father's instruction is to be heeded, but this is Mother's Day. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. If you go back a verse to verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Same word. So verse 8 is picking up a word that's already been used at the end of verse 7 for instruction. And it's a general word, a word that is often associated in Scripture with the idea of discipline. Instruction that involves the enforcement of discipline with that instruction. And then it goes on, and forsake not your mother's teaching. This is the word Torah. And Torah can sometimes be a reference to the first five books of the Old Testament, and Torah can sometimes be a reference specifically to the Ten Commandments of Moses, and sometimes Torah can be the general ethical, moral teaching of Scripture. Well, isn't that interesting? I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and so Bible verses were not something I was familiar with as a boy or as a teenager, but I was very familiar with moral teaching. And I can still, to this day, remember some of the things that my mother, and if you're watching, she's 89 years old, and this is not Mother's Day in Britain. That's back in March, so you may be listening. Happy Mother's Day. Happy American Mother's Day. I still remember some of the things my mother said to me as a boy. They were those Judeo-Christian principles that society, at least in the 50s and 60s, believed and held to. You were to show respect to your elders. It was a rule. Woe betide you if you did not. It was wrong, very, very wrong, to steal apples from your neighbor's orchard, which I did many times, and suffered the consequences. Young men and women, I want you to turn to Proverbs 30 and verse 17. I didn't put it in the bulletin lest you decide not to come today. But here's another text that speaks about children and their relationship to their mothers. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. You can see why I didn't put that in the bulletin. Young men and women, if you don't respect your mothers, you are dead meat. That's what the proverb is saying. Well, a third thing I want us to see in this proverb, and that is the context of this proverb, is the fear of the Lord. Go back up a verse. Verses 1 to 7 of the book of Proverbs functions like a prologue. It functions very similar to the way that the prologue of John's gospel in chapter 1 functions to the rest of the gospel. And the entire narrative of the book of Proverbs is summed up in these opening 7 verses with its climax and peroration in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, the godly work of motherhood, is to instill in her offspring and those around her the fear of the Lord. That reverent love and devotion and worship of God that counts him superior to everyone and everything else. Well, there's a fourth thing in this proverb. And it is this, that this proverb promises sons and daughters great reward. Great reward. Look at verse 8. Hear, my son, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Verse 9. For they are a grateful garland for your head. This is the teaching now and the instruction. Are a grateful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. This teaching, this instruction, this course in godliness that mothers give to their children, it makes these sons and daughters look beautiful. So I have an exhortation on this Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers and perhaps are finding the going a little difficult. Perhaps you're in a darker place than normal. Perhaps you're conscious of the difficulties. Teenagers who are beginning to rebel, or maybe you're older than that, and those teenagers have grown into adults, but they still don't know the Lord. Keep going. Keep nurturing. Keep praying. Keep using those moments when you have an opportunity to witness to the beauty of the Lord Jesus and the beauty of the gospel and the rightness of Torah, and pray, as we all pray, that sons and daughters will not despise that teaching, for it is a beautiful thing. And may this congregation raise up a generation of men and women who call their mothers blessed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, and pray today. Thank you for godly mothers, and for mothers perhaps less godly, but whose instruction nevertheless has shaped and influenced. Thank you for their sacrifice. Thank you for their love, their tenderness, their care. Thank you for a mother's love. And for those perhaps now this morning who remember a mother who has gone, perhaps gone home to be with yourself, may these moments be moments of thanksgiving, and pray that among the younger generation of men and women and boys and girls, there would arise a generation that would love and honor the calling of motherhood. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It pains me that whenever we get to Mother's Day, we have to have this sort of caveat of a conversation, knowing that there are many of our listeners who are hearing this message and are broken up because Mother's Day does not carry the same weight of joy and excitement and celebration as it does for others. There are many who have suffered a great, horrendous agony according to the hands of their mother, whether it's neglect, abandonment, or abuse. And our heart goes out to you because that is not the way that God designed it. Others still who want to be mothers, unable to do so whenever Mother's Day comes around, it just floods them with the emotions again of the thing that is beyond their reach. And still others who have lost their mothers in the past year, or are their mothers are no longer with them, and it pains them to reflect upon the fact that their mothers are no longer there to offer them the advice. But when we come to Mother's Day, what we want to do is not just honor our own personal mothers, but consider the important role that mothers play within our society as a whole. The design that God has given us, mothers are a gift to mankind as they instruct our hearts. Proverbs is this beautiful picture of not only a mother's instruction, but also Lady Wisdom offering advice and guiding us and navigating through the circumstances of life. This is something we ought to celebrate, especially when it comes to acknowledging the role that mothers play not only in our personal lives, but society as a whole. We've gotten far away from that in our culture today, haven't we? We have dethroned mothers in their roles and responsibilities in training up the children in the next generation. And as a result, we have suffered the consequences. But we as Christians, knowing the gift that God has created in his perfect order, giving families a father and a mother and bringing them together in that beautiful relationship of passing down wisdom from generation to generation, ought to consider this role in our own lives and in the lives of those in our society. We ought to celebrate mothers more than anyone else, knowing that they are a gift from God. Whether you are celebrating this weekend or whether you are mourning this weekend, let us all consider that in light of all of these things, we have a God who loves us, who has given us great gifts, even challenges us to help us to grow in full maturity. And let us learn to love others as Christ has loved us. And let's honor our mothers and the mothers as a whole. If we've been able to bless you, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630. Or you can give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com or look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Proverbs 3:3-4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man.